Morning, church.
Buenos dias, iglesia. So let's read the chapter 3 of Ezekiel to begin this class as we talk about the taste of the word, the taste of the word of God. Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. We have Ezekiel's commission. And Ezekiel reports, "Then he said to me, 'Son of man, eat what you find. Eat this scroll and go speak to the house of Israel.' So I opened my mouth and he fed me this scroll. He said to me, 'Son of man, feed your stomach and fill your body with this scroll, which I am giving to you.' Then I ate it and it was sweet as honey in my mouth." So he's eating words, and it had taste to it. "Then he said to me, 'Son of man, go to the house of Israel and speak with my words to them. For you are not being sent to a people of unintelligible speech or difficult language, but to the house of Israel, nor to many people of unintelligible speech or difficult language whose words you cannot understand. But I have sent you to them who should listen to you. Yet the house of Israel will not be willing to listen to you, since they are not willing to listen to me. Surely the whole house of Israel is stubborn and obstinate. Behold, I have made your face as hard as their faces, and your forehead as hard as their foreheads. Like emery harder than flint, I have made your forehead. Do not be afraid of them or be dismayed before them, though they are a rebellious house." So with the very words that he has given, consumed, he's to speak to them, and he is to be as knuckleheaded, if you will, as they are. More so. For 10 and 11, "Moreover, he said to me, Son of man, take into your heart all my words which I speak to you and listen closely. Go to the exiles, to the sons of your people, and speak to them and tell them whether they listen or not. Thus says the word, thus says the Lord God." The imagery here is just so beautiful, so amazing, as the book of Ezekiel is. But when I read these 11 verses, I pick out 3 points that I want to bring up today in this sermon. And the first point is that we need to be ready for how the word of God tastes. We need to know how it tastes and to consume it. And the second point I see is that we need to never give up trying to save souls, even when it appears to be hopeless. And number 3, what I see here, in order to effectively save souls, we need to know the word of God. So the first point, the taste of the scroll. It tastes sweet, like honey. And why is the word of God sweet like honey in the mouth? It is sweet as honey in the mouth because the word of God is sweet. It is amazing. The word of God is a perfect work from Genesis to Revelation. It is perfection from beginning to the very end. Unity of over 100 writers, over 2,000 years, talking about the same thing, and they all get along. It is a matchless work. There's no work of writing that comes close to comparison in majesty, in depth, in culture, in power to the Word of God. It is a saving work. The Word of God is here to perfectly save our souls. If we read the Word of God and do what it says, we will be perfectly saved. That is so sweet to know. It is a fulfilled work. The Bible oftentimes talks about what will happen in the future. And when it says that, these things do happen. The Word of God is a roadmap for our lives. It is direction for our souls. This morning, we were talking about how if there is no Google Maps, I have problems in San Jose. Understand, the Bible is like that for our very souls and our lives. We know where we're going and we know how to get there because of the Word of God. It is also beautiful to read. I don't know about you, but when I read Ezekiel 3, 1 through 11, the beautiful language, the writing, it is so sweet to read about the sweet word of God. And what's wonderful about the Bible, there's so much of it. There are so many books in the Bible, so many words to read. It is a lifetime goal to read the word of God. Many of us have not yet even read the entire Bible yet. But even if we have read the Bible one time, oh wow, there are so many more times to read the Bible. And every time I read the Word of God, I learn something new. It is so sweet, the Word of God. That's why God gave it to Ezekiel. When he put it to his mouth, it tasted so good. Because the Word of God does taste good. And I pray that the Word of God tastes good to you this morning. And why the food analogy? Why does he give it to his mouth? Why is it not something to hear? Why is it not something to observe? It could be a pretty picture analogy. It could be a beautiful song analogy. No, it is as if it is food. And why food? Because there is nothing more intimate in our experience than eating food. Every single person, from children to old people, single or married, I don't care who you are, we all have the most intimate experience of eating. And we all share that. And it is true what they say, you are what you eat. We are now rediscovering, surprise, surprise, that how we eat has an effect on how we are. The Bible, however, is not saying anything new. It's not surprised by this information. And so God tells Ezekiel, eat this word. Eat the scroll so that it is as if it becomes who you are. So that it goes through your very veins. It creates spiritual muscle. It creates spiritual protein. It becomes who you are. Make it who, speak it as if it is from you, your very self. The word for Ezekiel is to become who he is, just as the word is to become what we are. It says in John that the word of God became flesh. And Christ said himself, eat of my flesh, drink of my blood. Partaking of the Lord's Supper, do we understand what's going on here? Do we understand the Lord's Supper, that such a huge part of that, the consuming every Sunday, this bread and this wine that Christ commanded is so symbolic, and it links even directly here to the experience of Ezekiel. And so, all that being said, what a wonderful experience we see here. Why doesn't everyone love the Word of God? I mean, who does not like honey? Who would reject such a sweet, delicious meal? Because this same Word of God, it may be sweet to us because we've obeyed the Word of God. But for those who have not obeyed the Word of God, it is not so sweet. The Word of God tells people also what to do, and people don't like that. People really want to do what they want to do. One of the biggest lies of our society is that I can do whatever I want. I am free to do all as I please, and I control my own destiny. That's an illusion. Christianity is recognizing, no, Christ, you are my Lord, and you are my master. And so one of the first obstacles in the world to Christianity is saying, I can't do what I want to do. I'm not my own person. I have to call somebody Lord. And that is a very important aspect of the Word of God. This is why, although for us who have accepted it, it is very sweet because we know how wonderful it is to serve God. But for those in the world, nah, it's not so sweet. The Bible also tells the truth about people. The Bible tells the truth about people. I find it amazing how people get quite annoyed if you tell them about themselves. If you reveal information about somebody to them, and it's true, people get annoyed by that. In the Bible, it says it is like a double-edged sword cutting through bone, through the heart, through the soul, through the tendons. It goes right to the truth, and it can bother people. Which is why in Acts 2, when Peter speaks the gospel, in that chapter they accept. But in later chapters, that very same gospel was rejected because it told the truth, it revealed the hearts and souls of people. And even in Acts 2, the truth hurt. Even so, it hurt, that truth. But if we are humble enough to have that truth spoken to us and respond to it, oh, what a sweet result that will be. There are consequences, however, for standing for the word that aren't so sweet. And even for us, we know the word is sweet, but we also may have suffered the consequences of standing for that word. More on that in a second. Because despite the consequences of standing for the word of God, there is joy to the process. There is joy in this movement called Christianity. There is joy of spreading the gospel, even if the gospel is rejected in our faces. We are to appreciate the word of God, I believe, even more than food. Because as much as food simply, I believe even the reality of food is merely an analogy of the true nourishment for our souls. Reading the Bible on a regular basis is more important for our survival than eating physical food. Because when it is all said and done, our reality, which is eternal, if it's based upon the word of God, that lasts forever. But everything else that we may think is important on this earth fades away. Indeed, even earthly food. So the most important food of our lives is the word of God. Jeremiah 15, verse 16. More important for our survival is the word of God. Jeremiah 15, verse 16. Jeremiah has also experienced this. He says, your words were found and I ate them. See, I want to become part of myself, not just say them, not just see them. I want to eat the word of God. And your words become for me a joy and the delight of my heart. For I have been called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. Let's not starve ourselves. Let us regularly get into the word. And if we get into the word on a regular basis, it does become like a meal that we look forward to every single day. To the point where if we don't read the Bible on a daily basis, we feel something lacking. I'm hungry. Yeah, we're hungry for the word of God. We haven't had our daily bread. Psalm 119, 103. Psalm 119, 103. The longest chapter in the Bible. But within that chapter, in 103, it says, how sweet are your words to my taste, yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I pray all of us view the Bible that way, have experienced this or are experiencing this. And it only happens if we begin to keep reading the word of God. It's a taste that we definitely acquire more and more the more you read the word of God. Job 23, verse 12. If we don't read our Bibles, we don't understand this experience here. Job 23, verse 12. Job 23, verse 12. I have not departed from the commands of his lips. And look at this. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Because he knew that true survival is from the word of God. But again, there are consequences in the world for standing for the truth, because Revelation also shows an experience of eating the food. But for John, he also gives another side of this meal, particularly what John had to go through and what he wanted the Christians in Revelation to understand what they would go through with this word. So while it is sweet, please understand that maybe for us even today, there's another aspect to it. The book of Revelation, chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. Revelation chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. So I went to the angel, and he said to me, take it and eat it. Well, begin in verse 8. Then the voice which I heard from the heaven, I heard again speaking with me, saying, go, take the book, which is open in the hand of the angel who stands on the sea and on the land. You got the biggest angel in history with the smallest book in history in the same chapter. So I went to the angel, telling him to give me the little book. And he said to me, take it and eat it. It will make your stomach bitter, but in your mouth it will be as sweet as honey. I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it. And in my mouth it was sweet as honey. And when I eaten it, my stomach was made bitter. And he says, you must talk. You must speak this. And what does that mean? What does that mean that this word may be somewhat bitter at times? The book of Revelation is about overcoming the difficulty of being a Christian. For them at that time period, it was against the Roman Empire that wanted to, at some point, extinguish Christianity and the persecution that will come as a result of speaking the word of God. So John's saying, just be aware, John, who I believe is very future-proofing the church for the future, dealing with that Greek and Roman world, he's saying, understand, that word of God is indeed sweet. That has not changed. But at times, especially with persecution, it may have a bit sour results sometimes. Understand the people who are not going to like it. Understand authorities, especially in these days, may eventually want to kill you because of the word of God, although it be so sweet. Because what makes the word of God sweet is that we're going to heaven. Essentially, that's what it means. We're going to heaven. But that very knowledge and explanation that we're going to heaven comes with another half, that people who reject the word of God are going to hell. And that knowledge, that other not so sweet part of the gospel, can be taken in a sour way, leading to sour persecution for those who dare to speak it. And again, people don't want to hear the truth. John's saying, get ready for this. Be aware. The word of God is sweet. And to be consumed and to be spread with joy, ultimately there will be joy that overcomes any of the sour part of it. But good news also implies that there is bad news out there as well. But thankfully, the word of God also tells us how to avoid the bad news. If we accept Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior, if we repent from an old way of life, from a sinful lifestyle, and if we are baptized in the name of Jesus, we will be saved. And that is sweet indeed. Indeed, there's nothing sweeter than that. Let's read Ezekiel 3, 4 through 8. Ezekiel 3, 4 through 8 to get our second point, I believe, in this chapter here. Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 4 through 8. Then he said to me, Son of man, go to the house of Israel and speak with my words to them. The words that are inside of you, speak with my words to them, for you are not being sent to a people of unintelligible speech or difficult language, but to the house of Israel, nor to many peoples of an unintelligible speech or difficult language whose words you cannot understand. But I have sent you to them who should listen to you. Yet the house of Israel would not be willing to listen to you, since they are not willing to listen to me. Surely, the whole house of Israel is stubborn and obstinate. Behold, I have made your face as hard as their faces, and your forehead as hard as their forehead. The second point, don't give up spreading the gospel. Don't give up reaching out to souls. Don't give up trying our best to save those around us. Despite the obstacles of spreading the word, we have the strength. We are equipped with the ability to endure as much as anybody and even more. This is what he's telling Ezekiel. Ezekiel, you're going to go through difficulty, but I have given you the strength to overcome that difficulty. Never ever think that we as a church, that we as a body of Christ are at a disadvantage despite numbers, despite money. The Bible will tell us that we are stronger, that we are more flexible, and we are more durable than anybody outside of this church because of Jesus. Let us never have some kind of idea that we are just running around and trying to avoid issues and hopefully they don't hit us. No, we are stronger. We are stronger. 1 John 4, 4, this is the truth. And I hope we believe it. You are from God, little children, and have overcome them. Understand, from the point of view of God's point of view, the battle's already won. We simply have to live out that victory. You have overcome them because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Greater is he who is in me, this Holy Spirit, this God, this Jesus, than any he in the world. I don't care what's out there. I have what is inside of me stronger and a guarantee of overcoming if I will only accept that victory in my life. We are stronger. We are more flexible as well. We are more flexible. We can maneuver. We can adapt in order to reach people. 1 Corinthians 9:19-23. This is how we survive. This is how we do it. For though I am free from all men, Paul says, I made myself a slave to all so that I may win more. To the Jews, I became as a Jew so that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, though not being myself under the law, so that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without the law, as without the law, though not being without the law of God, but under the law of Christ, so that I might win those who are without the law. I can even to the weak become like the weak, that I might win the weak. And we can do this. If we desire to win saved souls, we can be this way. I become all things to all men, Paul says, so that I may by all means save some. I do all things for the sake of the gospel, so that I may become a fellow partaker of it. Paul links his very salvation to the spreading of the gospel. He says his salvation is based upon his desire to spread salvation. And that is the truth. We are stronger, we are more flexible, and we are more durable than any opponent outside of us. Proverbs 24, verse 16. One of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. As I told a couple last night, for a righteous man falls 7 times and rises again. But the wicked stumble in time of calamity. We're going to get back up again over and over. We're more durable. We can do it. So that second point, do not ever give up as our task, in our task, a mission as the church, ever. We have all the skills that we need to do so. The third and final point that I see in Ezekiel 3:1-11, he's telling, know the word yourself. Know the word. I mean, speak it, but also please know what you're talking about. Look at verses 10 and 11 of Ezekiel chapter 3. Ezekiel 3:10-11. Watch the phraseology here. Moreover, he said to me, son of man, take into your heart all my words, which I will speak to you, and listen closely. Pay attention. Absorb it. Know it. Take it seriously. Please, I pray the word of God is beyond simply a mental understanding. I pray the word of God is a matter of our heart. Go to the exiles, to the sons of your people, and speak to them and tell them whether they listen or not. Thus says the Lord God. Study and know the word of God. Study and know the word. This is the truth. Every single aspect of our lives is improved the more Bible that we know. Everything is improved. There is literally no downside to reading more and more of the Bible. There is nothing. I mean, what can we say that is like that? There is no downside to reading more and more of the Bible. Every minute, every second that we take in studying the word of God improves something about our lives. Why do we have a hard time reading it more? It is so important. It is so sweet. It is so wonderful. Why do we struggle? Why do we spend more time and energy on other things that we absorb into our hearts and not the word of God? 15 minutes a day changes our lives. 15 minutes of Bible a day will change your life. If we want to help people around us, to save people around us, every bit of Bible that we know makes us more capable of doing so. More importantly, though, that's a very important aspect, but more importantly, is showing here, I believe also, we are to show an attitude of complete obedience to the word. So we will obey anything that we read. Perhaps One difficulty in reading the Bible is that we don't like reading the Bible. It challenges us. We're stubborn. We're not. I don't want to do what it says. I don't want to know. That's why we don't want to go to the doctor. Some of us prefer not going to the doctor, not knowing, before going to the doctor and figuring out what's wrong with us. The Bible is the very same way. It does challenge us. And it may be easy to just avoid, I know what I know. I'm going to leave it where it's at. I know what I know. As one of my friends said, I know enough to be dangerous. Whatever that meant. Read the Bible. Read the Word of God. If our attitude is one of obedience, it's easy to read the Bible. I'm just do what it says. Okay. I guess I got to do that now. Let me get this done. I'm going to do it. Look at the attitude of the brethren in Acts 18. So let's go to Acts 18, verse 24. Look at his attitude. This is why we had the book of Acts. Now, a Jew named Apollos, an Alexandrian by birth, an eloquent man, came to Ephesus. He was mighty in the scriptures. He thought he knew it, right? This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he was speaking and teaching accurately the things concerning Jesus, being acquainted only with the baptism of John. And he began to speak out boldly in the synagogue. This guy had... Pretty good guy. But when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he wanted to go across to Achaia, the brethren encouraged him and wrote to the disciple to welcome him. And when he had arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace. For he powerfully refuted the Jews in public, demonstrating by the Spirit, by the Scripture, that Jesus was the Christ. Just keep reading. And it happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the upper country and came to Ephesus and found some disciples. Disciples, they thought they were down. They thought they had everything. He said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said, no, we have not even heard what is the Holy Spirit. And he said, into what then were you baptized? And they said, into John's baptism. And there's no debate after this point. There's no discussion. I'm already saved. How dare you say I'm not saved? There is no, I got it set, you go back to your church, let's divide. No, it was, let's do this. There's something I don't know about. Let me do it, what it says. And Paul said, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in him who was coming after him, that is, in Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking in tongues and prophesying. They were, in all, about 12 men. That's more important, I think. He tells Ezekiel, take the word I say, put it, absorb it into your heart. Please, you yourself believe what it says. Read it, absorb it, take it. Let the word of God sink into you and become as if the very blood of your body. Last verse, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your might. In conclusion, preach that sweet word. Do not stop doing it, and let that word become your very identity. Please think of these things as we stand and sing.